Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Alright. And verse 13. Wherefore, what is the reason for that wherefore? Why is this encouraged in verse 13? What is the background of the wherefore? What's included in that? John?
Well, this calls us back to verse 12. You know, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, we got to wrestle against, you know, those powers that be here on the earth, but the evil powers that are in the spiritual world as well.
So the spiritual entities especially are difficult because nobody can see them, nobody can hear them. We're left alone because of the wrestling. And because of that, that's what the wherefore means, because of this. And what is the first thing that every genuine Christian should do? And what does it mean in verse 13?
God. Take on the whole armor of God. It means put on all the different parts of it. We need to be reading God's Word, where it's really we find all of it within God's Word. We need to have the Holy Spirit. We need to read His Word, study His Word, meditate upon His Word. Not like the word like the world meditates in some kind of chant, but to cogitate on God's Word, what He's telling us through His Word.
Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Now, in that verse 13, what is the armor that genuine Christians should put on? What do you think is referred to? The whole armor of God, Danny?
Well, we're going to see that coming up, but it would be like any kind of a warrior.
All right.
Wouldn't go to battle without putting armor on. If there's places where there's gaps in their armor, then they could get... depending on the day and the age, they could get an arrow, if it was bows and arrows, or, a gunshot could come in between the cracks. Mm-hmm. So you want to be completely covered with the armor of God.
What does armor supposed to do for a warrior? Touch it in.
Armor protects somebody. Here's a message from Yuri. Hello, everyone. I have, I just got in. And I'm glad to be able to join you for tonight's Bible study.
Julie
Monahan. Haven't heard from you, Julie, for a long time. Thank you very much.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, indeed. So in Ephesians 6 and verse number 13, the whole armor, what is the stated purpose for that armor? Something at the door, I don't know. What is the stated purpose that it says in verse 13 to withstand? What does that mean? What does the word withstand mean? Did that should ask something?
No.
I just have my hand up.
Okay,
to answer your question.
Go ahead, please.
To stand against something or stand up in the midst of something coming at you.
Does that mean to go along with something?
No.
Not at all. Not go along, but withstand, oppose.
Right.
Strongly oppose something, especially at what time of the situation. Is that necessary?
In the evil day.
What would be an evil day? How would you define an evil day? We're living in evil days today,
yes,
or yesterday, or
today,
future?
Mm-hmm.
Define what we mean by an evil day. Right?
Any day where Satan is the prince of the power of the air.
All right. Yes, Anna? Oh, that's just your hand. Anna's up.
That's all right.
Okay. So then evil day. Are we living in evil days today?
Absolutely.
Do you think the days today are more evil than yesterday, the day before, or past? Or is it less evil today in the future? John?
Well, yes, the same evils exist today as they did in the past. And Scripture does tell us that there is nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
However, Scripture also tells us that the days will wax worse and worse. So, yes, I would say they're more evil today. Percentage, you have to look at it in some kind of a percentage. know, how much, how far to the left has the world turned? How far away from God's word has it become as a whole? You know, more people, you know, 100 years ago were closer to God's word, but as a society, this world has moved further and further and further away from it, rejecting anything about God. Instead, they accept any false deity that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Questions at vatdc.org, 856-261-901. They give us a call and comment on these things. Anna?
Well, I think, too, perhaps it could depend where you're talking about, because I mean, certain places that people have not been able to go before with the gospel, perhaps now they're able to. For maybe in the 1600s, the name or region of the world where the gospel wasn't really known, but now today, they're reaching out there. Of course, there's probably still some places to reach. But.
Mm-hmm. Now, for example, in a young lady or young gentleman's age, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, would they see and would they understand the horrendous things we see today by comparison when we were younger? I'm talking about people that are 90s, 70s, 60s, 50s. Would the young person really be able to grasp the better days versus today, which is much more fierce than ever before?
No.
No, I don't believe they would either. They just see what they see now.
All right, that's all they know.
They're in the past. We don't know they're not there, see? Anna?
I guess it would depend on perspective, too. I mean, because if a young man who went off and fought in the Second World War, it's probably a lot more young men fought in the Second World War than fight today in different places. Not that some people don't fight today, but yes.
Yes, and John.
Yes, if you look back, we'll take, for me and Dan, our age, we're the same age.
Mm-hmm.
At the time we grew up, we've been able to see homosexuality totally wrong,
mm-hmm.
and then in the age being begun to be accepted so much.
Yes.
To where it is today, that's embraced. Where my daughter's age, the time she grew up, it's always been embraced.
Yes.
Always that's what they know.
Right.
Unless, you know, of course, I taught her differently, but.
Yes.
You know.
That's your dad.
Although, interesting, although the former Soviet parliament, or the Russian parliament, has banned same-sex marriage. They've also mm-hmm. extended Putin's term for 12 more years, but they banned
mm-hmm.
same-sex marriage.
That's good, isn't it?
And so from that vantage point, there still had to be the old school, if you want to call it, that approach that issue.
Yes, well, that's good. Someone is good in that particular realm. Therefore, the whole armor of God to stand, to be able to stand. And without the whole armor of God, does this imply that the Christian can be able to stand without it? It says that you may be able.
I don't think he can stand. He can try, but he'll fail.
Yes.
And that stand at the end there is an absolute firmness, unmovable.
And having done all of this, says this verse to stand. And verse 14 repeats. Tammy, has something?
No, okay. I'm just touching my face.
Okay.
No. You're not supposed to do that.
No, I was doing it too.
Just don't shake my hand.
A little bit of the ponder.
That's what I'm doing.
That's allowed here. So then in verse 14, what is it therefore in this verse? It's placed after the first word. And why is it there? What does it mean? How does it go back to the meaning? What is the purpose?
I believe it's because you have the whole armor of God that you can stand, and then goes on to describe the different parts of the armor.
Yeah, in other words, in verse 13, having done all, to stand. And therefore stand. It's repeated. What does stand mean in this context? What does stand mean?
Don't waver.
Don't give up. Don't fall down. And?
Well, also, I mean, this is like a, it's likening it to a battle, and so when you're in battle, you don't want to turn and run away. You have to stand your ground. You hold that ground.
Yes.
And you don't run away.
What happens on these issues when a genuine Christian, strong as possible, fails to stand against these things? What happens to the fight and to the battle? Anna?
Or maybe someone else will take that person's place. What that person might have done, someone else will do.
That's possible. Stand
there for it. It depends on if we're talking about, is it an individual, is this, which particular battle we're referring to.
When a strong man has failed to stand and wavers slightly, he has opened up the door to allow all forms of liberalism to creep in and grab hold of not only his life, but if he happens to be a pastor of a church, an entire congregation.
Yes. Now, the first thing mentioned here, about the same, what should the loins do and what do they do with a person's trying to stand? What should they do, what should they not do? Or to follow this rule of God. Having loins,
heard
about with what?
Truth.
For us to respond these days.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. It's not found too much in newspapers, magazines, even in schools, and sometimes even in Christian schools. Truth is not found. But the loins, I don't know why the loins have to do with truth, but if you're standing in error, deep up all throughout your loins, it seems like you're not in the right condition. Anna?
I guess it's the idea of girding up your loins, because in the olden days, people, they wore, like, flowing garments. They may have had some form of trousers underneath their flowing garments, but a lot of people had these flowing garments, and so if your garments are down by your shoes, if you have to, and you don't want to trip, so that's why they had gird up their loins.
Very good. That's exactly
and
right.
And so, if you gird up your loins with some, if you have like a false snout, or if it's not a good secure, in other words, if it's not true, if the girding of it is not true, then they're going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you set yourself up to trip.
Right. You don't wear with your check.
Just by way of that illustration, because from my own experience with long skirts, sometimes when you're climbing, when you're going up steps, you have more of a tendency to step on your skirt and then actually trip. So, I mean, when you're actually laboring the most, you could actually fall. I mean, just to try and paint more of a picture of all that.
That's good. So it has to be girded up, these lines, these dresses, long skirts, whatever, so they won't trip. That's right. Gird up your lines with the truth. And gird about with truth and having your lines. Now, okay, so after the lines are girded up with truth in verse 14, what's the next thing that is used as an armament? And what is that generally used for in verse 14.
The next one is the breastplate of righteousness.
What are breastplates used for in battle?
That helps protect the heart area, lung area.
The heart and lung, very vital parts of the body.
And if I can step back a moment on the thing about the girt about, about your loins girt about with truth, the loin section is where we have our reproductive organs. Mm-hmm. And so we girt about with truth, so we are to reproduce truth and not error.
Possible in those things. The breastplate usually is made of what? In
some form of metal.
Some form of metal. Brass or
iron.
Iron. Something that will not be penetrated by what?
Yeah. spear and arrows.
And spears, the arrows. Some bullets are now, this is, I realize, in primitive warfare, but some bullets can't even get through steel, iron, if they're proper iron, proper bullets, not as strong as some. Some are armored piercing.
One of the police officers,
it's Kevlar.
It's what?
Kevlar.
It's Kevlar.
Well, it's,
It's
fair to call it a plastic, but it's not plastic in the sense. Mm-hmm.
Why is plastic not plastic?
Because it's plastic, because it, I mean, it's like a polycarbonate.
Ask about that next week, my brother will be
and
here.
And carbon fibers could be useful for something like that. But then there's different types of Kevlar, because sometimes a blade can get through Kevlar that would stop some Kevlar that would stop a bullet. A blade can sometimes penetrate.
Uh-oh.
You can find it on the internet. Okay. I'm not revealing any unknown facts. People are waiting for them to be watching this to find out about it.
Did we read 15 yet?
Yes.
We did. Mm-hmm. Now, what is true about the feet of the soldier in battle? Yes, contain.
They have to have footwear on.
Okay. All right.
And so that's what's being shot is you have to have your footwear on to protect you so you can move quickly.
Well, what form of footwear is preparation? What's true about preparation and footwear? And add something.
Well, I was going to talk about the Passover, the very first Passover, and they were standing up, and they had their shoes on, and they had the staff in their hand, and they were ready to go. And this was like, you know, eat this, and then we're going to get on the road.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Preparation. Now, the Gospel of Peace. What is that referred to in this armament and breastplate and preparation? The gospel. Why should that be part of the soldier's battle? Ms. Tang?
It reminds me of the verse in 1 Peter. I think it's but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So, when the Lord opens the door, we should be ready to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm. So. What is the relationship between feet and the gospel of peace, do you think? What's
how
the picture?
Beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel.
Because
the apostles, they went.
They went. They just say, what they had.
And it's going back to the preparation. Sometimes at home we take off our shoes, and then it's like, well, let's go to get an ice cream cone, or let's go to the grocery store and pick up XYZ,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, oh wait, I have to put my shoes on. Mm-hmm. But if your shoes are already on, then you're prepared.
What is the significance of the type of gospel that's called the gospel of peace? Anna?
We have peace with God.
Romans 5:1.
We're being justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Very good. And the gospel that does not give a person peace with God, is it the true gospel? Does that mention the peace with God?
No.
Romans 5:1. Therefore,
being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Tremendous peace. And only by that peace can God be at peace with us. And then in verse 15 also, we got to say we haven't read 16 yet.
No.
Let's read 16, 17, and 18 together.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Those are three, right?
Yep.
Now, why is this above all in there in verse 16? Is that?
Well, I've seen like diagrams of the armor of God and the shield of faith. It seems like it's something that's held it in the hand, but it can be moved about. So, in other words, if there's a problem with the armor in some place, that shield could be moved over when there's an arrow coming at it. So it's more mobile than any of the others. So maybe that's the idea.
Is that defensive or offensive?
It's defensive.
Defensive, the shield of faith. Yeah?
I mean, you could argue both. But
explain the other.
Well, if somebody's running at you, you might be able to
cough them in the face.
Yeah.
All right. Now, especially the last part of verse 16, what is one major thing that a shield of faith can do?
Quench the fiery darts of the wicked.
What now, Jenny?
So, I remember, I guess, some of those old cowboy shows, westerns, and they would actually, the Indians would have dart, they wouldn't be just arrows, but they would be flaming arrows when they were actually on fire. So, they were extra powerful. So, this is able to stop that fire.
Yes.
Not only the arrow, but also the flame.
That's fine as well. Very important. Hannah?
Well, you see the idea is that the faith, our faith, what protects us, like when Satan, whether he directly or indirectly, will be attacked, like you said, oh, you're not good enough, or why would Christ factor? And they are different, all sorts of things, but by faith, we have all these different promises in the scriptures, and so we just hold up the promise, and it will defeat, it can defeat the attack. Like how you know your shield is like, he's not going to pluck, like no man can pluck him out of my father's hand. Look at what you did, and it's like, well, it's not about what I did, it's like, it's the righteousness of Christ.
Message
from Maine. Pastor, greetings to you and all of BFD Church family. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. I miss seeing Mrs. Waite in church services, but we will rejoice that she is now in the presence of the Lord, her Lord and Savior. And one day we will embrace on heaven's shore. May God bless you all in His love. Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki Albert in Maine. We miss Mrs. Waite, there's no question about it. I remember our doctor today, went to Dr. Ciccone, got his blood test and so on, and while I was getting my blood test for the nurse, he stopped into the room and shook my hand and said, how are things going now?
He shook your hand?
Yes, he shook my hand and said, how things are going now? We didn't have to go like that. And when my wife died, he called up on the phone. Imagine a doctor calling up on the phone and giving his condolences to the dear man. And then while I was just still there, the nurse said she misses Mrs. Wayne especially. The first time my wife went into the room, she said her name, Christy or something. I can't think of it. As soon as she heard her name, said my wife sang her a song using her name. She was very impressed. I never heard that in my life before. But the nurse was very impressed with my wife singing to her when she came in for blood test. Anyway, so in verse number, we're talking about the fiery darts.
Verse 16.
Now, what if you didn't have a shield of faith and fiery darts came at you?
You might get hurt.
You might get very hurt. And you might get killed.
Start on fire,
that's right. Now, with a shield
of... It's hard to stand when you're on fire.
That's exactly right.
To stop for rock and roll.
Now, what does it mean?
We had a hand.
But every suit of armor, there are chinks in it.
Yeah.
That's why they need to be tested. you know, and the shield is movable, so you can make up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why it talks about with the shield of faith being able to quench those fiery darts, you can deflect them.
Why can the shield deflect fire, do you think? Yeah?
Well, I guess it's made of metal, and I mean, or at least, I mean, I guess some might be made of wood. I mean, a lot of them have metal on them, and so then it's like it, metal doesn't really burn, and, or if it does, I mean, it takes a lot of heat to melt it, so
mm-hmm.
well, it doesn't really melt it.
So apparently, the shield is strong metal, and some darts come in, maybe. Wooden darts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's
distinguished.
It's distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
And deflected and so on. And that's in verse number
16
or 17. What's the next thing that this Christian soldier must have, use, and wear?
A helmet of salvation.
Helmet of salvation. Where does the helmet go?
On the head.
On the head. Maybe some people don't think about headrests when they leave for battle or somewhere else, but you're better with a battle, helmet of salvation, protecting the head. What is the thinking part of the body?
The brain.
If it thinks at all. The brain, that's right. And so it must be protected. A lot of people can have wounds in the head and be seriously affected wrongly. And what's the final thing that they would have with them at all times?
Sword of the Spirit.
Which is what?
Which is the Word of God.
And it's holding up in the Word of God, the Scriptures. The Sword of the Spirit. Word of God that pierces, and people don't always understand how it pierces. They don't believe the Holy Spirit can do anything to anybody. But that's what God says it is, and that's what it does.
Even to the dividing asunder.
Divide asunder, soul and spirit. That's right. So did we read 18, 19, 18, no. Let's read 18, 19, and 20 together.
Oh, yes, we did read
18,
14, 15, 17, 18.
What does the 18th thing say about praying always?
All prayer and supplication.
All prayer.
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. Prayer and supplication. What's the difference between prayer and supplication?
Okay. Oh, sorry, I'm going to go back to that helmet of salvation.
Okay.
Talking about our thinking, what we think, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations,
mm-hmm.
and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, you know, kind of goes to that. The point of having our minds controlled,
mm-hmm.
And having the helmet of salvation. When we know we're saved, when we have salvation in Christ, we can rejoice in Christ. We don't have to think on those imaginations. We can think on, you know, the promises of God and all that He has given us and rejoice in those things.
Right. So this is very important. Questions at BATBC.org or 856-261-9018. Maybe the people in... What was the place down there?
Internet line? I don't know.
No, Grant?
Delaware?
Delaware, yeah, maybe Delaware people. Delawareans.
The Hottie Shells?
The Hottie Shells might want to give us a call, say hello. How are you?
Pardon me? Anyone?
Any other one? Anyone else? Right. Anyone else?
They don't have to be in Delaware.
I didn't know. You have about 4 more minutes.
How about Jacob Grummer? We haven't heard from him in quite a while.
Oh, Jacob Grummer. That's
right.
Yeah.
You're right, no.
Anybody who wants to give us a call. We haven't heard from, what was her name? She gave us a hymn tonight. Can't think of it. Julie Monahan.
She sent an email when she got home tonight.
That's right, she didn't give any song or talking to us or anything. But anyway, okay. Anyway, we're all right without anybody else, but praying always with supplication. What's the difference between praying and supplication? And
well, I guess prayer could be more general, but supplication is seems like it seems specifically on behalf of another.
All right.
That you're bringing requests for.
That's a request, isn't it? Prayer is.
Or maybe
that's an intercession. Intercession.
That's right.
Yep.
Supplication is more of a special request, but.
Special request.
Yes.
Request, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And what else is this? In the spirit, what does that imply? Supplication in the spirit. Okay.
Well, in Romans 8, it talks about the spirit maketh utterances, or in other words, he's praying for us for things that we can't even utter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea of the Holy Spirit himself is making these requests for us as we pray.
Right. Very important. Watching there into. What does that mean? To watch. Anna?
It's sort of a sense of looking and keeping an eye out for different things. It's like when Christ told the disciples to watch and pray. So it wasn't just praying or just watching, but watching and praying.
What does perseverance mean?
Could watching also have a sense of expectation?
Yeah, I would say
the answer of prayer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even fool around by watching if you never think it's going to happen.
Right. And why would you persevere?
Yeah, perseverance, that's right. But God wants us to watch there and too, and with perseverance, and what's the final thing?
Supplication.
Just repeat it.
For all saints.
But for all saints.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the saints?
True born again Christians.
True born again Christians.
Not every person sitting on the earth.
All right. We didn't read the last three verses, did we? Let's read those. Mm-hmm. And for me,
that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel,
for which
I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I want to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things.
All right. Pray also, Paul wants to pray for who? Pray for who? In verse 19.
The Apostle Paul.
Paul said, there it is. You're starving here this time. There's a 1 hour, but we always have time for stop. Okay. Always have time for further comments or questions. Are there any comments or questions we should bring up at this time? If not, John, what is Anna?
I have a thought. So are these things, like the whole armor of God we have because of Christ.
Yes.
Because you have the loins to gird about with truth. Well, who is the way, the truth, and the life? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The breastplate of righteousness. Well, who is our righteousness? This is Christ.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. Our feet travel with preparation of the gospel of peace. He's the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the shield of faith. Yeah. Our faith is in Him. The helmet of salvation is all from Him. And the sword of the Spirit. So we have the written Word of God, and Christ is the living Word of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And He's the great intercessor. So prayer, He's our intercessor.
Very good. The Lord Jesus Christ, friend, men of all these implements of defense, and offense as well. Any other comments or questions about him? If that's not, we close in a word of prayer.
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we come before you tonight. We thank you and praise you for the giving of your word to us, that we may learn. We thank you for the opportunity.